Dead Meat Pete is homemade with no production financing of any kind. If you're enjoying the show, please help us out by leaving a positive review and sharing it with others. Previously on Dead Meat Pete.
Here's the deal, kid. You're not a real person. This world's not real. It's a movie and you're just some character who gets killed at the beginning.
So I kill the monster. I get out of this world and into another.
You kill that one, bam. We jump to a new horror movie. If anybody other than you delivers a death blow, you go back to the beginning and get ripped apart.
Who else is out here delivering death blows?
Name's Lewis. He's the only one who knows how to kill bloody bones. Tanya, popular girl. Lewis is in love with her, Eric. Stock jock character in Tanya's ex, Audrey, the spooky one, Jax. He's your standard rebel type.
So what's the secret for bloody bones?
We need that amulet.
No! Get the amulet!
Getting detained, even for a few hours, is a death sentence for both of us.
They're in the basement! Freeze!
What if we just cut the damn thing's head off? Jax can't win if ain't no mouth to stick the amulet in.
You technically be assisting the hero. Maybe the movie would just let it happen.
So if we get out of here, we got a shot. What is that?
Bess, parasite demon. Goes in your eyes, possesses you, makes you bite off people's faces. I had one in a vial, must have broke.
We need backup.
The truck's that way.
Just run, shut up. Time to do some hero shit.
The truck headlights spilled over the hill and illuminated the eerie cemetery gates. Axel backed the forklift off the trailer and spun it around to face the sprawling hills of tombs and monuments. From the looks of it, the Caden Cemetery was more Roman ruins than small-town graveyard. It towered above, glowing in a sky with too many stars, looking suspiciously like a painting. Axel drove the forklift past toppled monoliths. Pete rode in the back. He held on tight to his welding helmet.
Where the hell did this place come from?
These big final movie battles are usually in some place like this. They don't typically show up till later in the movie. Your characters never live long enough to see it. Most of the time they look pretty good, so soak it up. You don't get a lot of pretty goods.
On the highest hill stood the entrance to a crypt. Angelic figures draped in stone gowns. A gothic mausoleum with concrete ribbons and roses. Axel pulled the forklift up to the crypt.
Bloody Bones is here?
It will be. The crypt is his home.
This ain't gonna be bad. I actually feel pretty good about it.
You think cutting off Bloody Bones' head ain't gonna be bad?
Well, it's gonna be easier than putting something in its mouth while it's alive.
I did it. Used a chain to keep the mouth open. Plopped it in, knocked it in the grave.
Well, ain't you just the coolest man in the world?
Axel helped Pete mount his crude bastard sword to his makeshift armor.
So I guess the head in a safe trick. Maybe. But we can't handle any snags. We'll be crippled by the world. Just remember, the world protects the will of the heroes. It doesn't try to fight us. We don't matter enough to fight.
Axel climbed the steps to the crypt and stood on the baluster. He looked over the cemetery with his binoculars.
See him yet?
Looking for a caved-in tomb.
Axel saw crumpled gravestones and thick moss. Then, beneath a massive oak tree, a sunken tomb, deep and wide.
Under that rotten oak tree, that's our end zone. Cut off the head, head goes in the safe. Safe goes in the grave. Then it all rests on Jack's agreeing to give up the amulet and not pulling a fast one, which he probably will.
You ain't gotta make it out like probably he's gonna do something. I think it's like 50-50, and I feel good about it.
Well, you're the expert.
Where are you going? You didn't say what to do.
Get down there and cut the head off. I said it.
Well, here goes nothing.
Pete stepped in the archway, silhouetted by moonlight. He flicked on a flashlight, duct taped to his helmet, and descended the stone steps into the murky darkness below. Pete moved slowly down the steps. He held the attached sword out in front of him. Something snapped in the distance. Pete stopped to listen.
Shit.
At the bottom of the winding stone steps, Pete saw a glowing light. Rotten clothes hung from open crypts. Vegetation reached down from a distant ceiling through a long, narrow mausoleum. Nothing moved. Pete entered, flipped off his flashlight, and lifted the helmet to wipe sweat from his face. Pete moved carefully through the mausoleum until he saw the source of light.
Man.
At the far end, where busted stone opened to a pit of earth, Pete saw a roaring fire. He eased behind a pile of stone, peering over to see the pillar of black smoke as it rose through a dark pit. A grate crossed the fire covered in bones, a mound of skulls, limbs, and rib cages. Pete heard a strange sound. He looked around for the source. And when he found it, he had to use every ounce of courage in him not to scream. Bloody bones crawled down the wall of the pit like a great skeletal arachnid. It dripped wet with grease, making an awful demonic racket. Bloody bones reached the bottom of the pit and stood upright. It stretched and cracked its limbs. The beast walked to the fire to examine the pile of charred bones. It lifted a jet black skull and dipped it in a barrel of water. The steam rose over the face of Bloody Bones. It shook the skull, spraying black water across the ancient stone floor. With no hesitation, the creature popped the skull in its mouth and chomped down. Pete moved ever so slightly to try and get a better look. He slipped on the wet stones. Bloody Bones whipped around with lightning speed in Pete's direction. Pete made himself as small as he could manage, but the beast was too smart. With its impossibly large claws, Bloody Bones lifted the barrel of fetid water and threw it on the fire. A plume of steam filled the dark pit as the creature dug down deep into the earth like a machine. Torrents of dirt covered the embers, squelching the glow. Total darkness. Pete turned on his flashlight and looked from side to side. His circle of light barely breaking through the thick wall of steam. He could see that the pit was empty. Pete jumped up and ran for the entrance. But he wasn't fast enough. Bloody Bones caught Pete by the ankle and lifted him up.
No!
It was a repeat of the many times Pete had been murdered by the monster. Pete's helmet fell to the ground. The light from his flashlight illuminated brief glimpses of Bloody Bones. Pete saw a flash of the beast's leg, and with all his strength, he stabbed his sword into its knee. He pushed all the way through until his fist hit bone. Bloody Bones faltered, but gave no indication of pain. The armor-mounted sword stuck in the monster's knee, pinning Pete's armor to it. Bloody Bones tried to pull Pete free, but only succeeded in sending itself into a stumble. Bloody Bones slashed at Pete, sending out sparks against the metal armor. The monster pulled at Pete, like starting a lawnmower. Pete's leg armor broke free and he fell to the floor. Pete pushed forward with the sword, sending the monster back. The tip of the sword bounced off of the frame of a crypt. Pete dodged a slash from Bloody Bones, then rammed the sword between the frame and stone. It was stuck. Pete undid the sword straps and broke himself free. He took off toward the mausoleum steps in faint moonlight from outside. Pete erupted out of the crypt, his breath visible in the cold autumn air. He wobbled forward, set off balance by the weight of a single armored leg. There was a flash of light on Pete's chest armor, and he fell backwards, landing in the crypt entrance. In front of the crypt stood Jax, who held a small rifle. Tanya stood to his left, holding an axe. Lewis to his right with a bow and arrow. Tanya ran up the steps and knelt beside Pete.
I'm so sorry.
Pete flailed, grabbing his chest in pain.
I'm not letting these monster cult dicks get in our way again.
I don't know if they're in a cult. I just said maybe.
Are you guys, like, in a cult?
You know he is. Why is he trying to keep us out of there? Why is the old man blocking the grave?
Pete reached into his body armor and pulled out the photo of his family. He handed it to Tanya. She studied it.
Help me, please. I have to find them.
I think he's telling the truth.
Because of a picture?
There's something about it. It's sad.
Let me see it. It's just a picture.
It's coming!
Jax and Lewis ran down the hill, away from the crypt, weapons swinging back and forth in front of them. Tanya abandoned her axe and grabbed Pete by the collar. She drug him down the front steps, out into the grass.
He's got my picture!
You gotta get up, you gotta get up.
Tanya helped Pete to his feet. At the bottom of the hill was the big oak tree and the sunken tomb end zone for the big plan. The forklift was parked at the edge. This was where Eric held Axel hostage, pointing a rifle at him.
God damn it.
They both stared up the hill.
Give me my picture!
Pete tripped, slamming down into the earth, face first. Mud covered his face and ears. Pete shimmied out of his remaining armor and took off. Bloody Bones tore down the hill, toppling gravestones. Pete could see Axel standing on top of the forklift, waving his arms.
Get out of the path!
As Pete ran, he cleared mud from his ears.
Get out of his path!
Pete veered to the left, and the monster ignored him, continuing on, stalking Tanya. Eric sat in the forklift, smashing buttons in a panic.
How do you work this goddamn machine?
Axel flipped him off. Tanya was nearly at the oak tree. Bloody Bone snatched Tanya up by the sweater, yanked her in, and lifted her by the throat.
No! Put her down!
Eric fired. The bullet zipped through Bloody Bone's skull, having no effect.
God, what the hell?
Bloody Bone spread its maw at an impossible width. The creature raised a hand in the air and spread its fingers, showing off its claws, ready for flesh. It swung its arm. A flaming arrow knocked the monster's arm away, saving Tanya. Lewis stood, holding the bow, doing his very best superhero pose.
Let her go, you limp dick piece of shit.
The monster dropped Tanya and ran at Lewis. Bloody Bones ran straight into a wire suspended between the trees, snaring its foot and crashing to the ground. Jax ran up the monster's back, carrying a length of chain that swung behind him. Bloody Bones rose up. Jax rode him like a bronco. He swung his chain, threading it between the monster's teeth. Jax tightened the chain, sinking it deep into the monster's mouth. He went to fasten the end hooks. Pete appeared out of nowhere and grabbed Jax by the neck and face. His fingers pulled Jax's mouth into an idiot grin. Now Pete rode Jax, who rode Bloody Bones.
Got me! Where's the fish?
Pete lost his grip on Jax's neck. Feeling around, he found a wad of flesh and pinched hard.
Ah, I'm killing this thing, or I'm killing you!
Axel jumped up, adding a fourth body to the absurd dog pile that stomped around the graveyard. A massive tree limb came down, missing Jackson, nailing the exact spot where Pete was. Pete and Axel landed on the wet earth.
I'm sorry! The movie just wants the hero to win!
Yeah, all right, well, what do I do?
But Axel just shook his head. He didn't know. And there was nothing left to do but wait for it all to be over. Axel looked over at Eric and Tanya, embracing in the grass. Fellow passengers on the sinking ship.
I thought we had time. I got it wrong again. I'm sorry, Pete. I'm sorry.
Let me go.
Jax rode Bloody Bones, steering him towards the sunken tomb. The night sky was infinite above, and the cemetery fog crept up around them. It was a portrait of the ancient hero and the beast in mortal battle. Pete would have been in awe if he wasn't losing, or if he hadn't been distracted by something on the ground. The photo of his wife and daughter had fallen from Jax. Axel saw what Pete was staring at and released him so he could pick it up. Pete held it, resting on his knees.
I'm sorry. I tried.
He talked directly to the photo and his family.
Yeah, I got you guys. Got your pictures still. I won't close my eyes. I promise.
Close your eyes.
No. I want to be looking at them.
Pete was jolted from his emotional farewell as Axel yanked him back by the collar.
Close your eyes!
That's when Pete turned to see a lady in a bumblebee costume. He had just enough time to register the glowing green light in her eyes as she tackled Lewis and ripped his nose off with her teeth.
Oh, shit.
Bumblebee lady had the majority of Lewis's face off in the blink of an eye. Pete looked from her to Bloody Bones, who was being wrestled down by Jax. Bumblebee opened her mouth wide and reared back to dig into Lewis one more time. A bullet, fired by Eric, ripped through her skull. No sooner than her limp body could hit the ground, the best drifted from her eyes. When the last strand of the best was free, it shot directly toward Jax, slipping right into his eyes.
No!
Jax leapt from Bloody Bones, tripped a little, but got to his feet. He ran at Eric and Tanya.
Oh my gosh!
Wait!
But it was too late. Jax lunged at Tanya, wielding the amulet like a dagger. He rammed it into her skull. Before Eric could do anything, Jax had Tanya's face off in a flurry of bites. Eric moved in to pull him off. Axel pulled Pete behind the forklift, hiding from Bloody Bones and now Jax. They both peeked around just in time to see Eric smash the butt of his rifle into Jax's head. It did nothing to stifle the rapid eating of Tanya's face. Axel cupped his mouth into a megaphone, shouting at Eric.
She's dead! You gotta run while he's eating her, kid! Get out of here!
What are you doing?
Axel shrugged at Pete. He was bullshitting and they both knew it.
We got this! No problem! Just get out of here!
Eric glanced back at Bloody Bones. It threw off the chain and swung its arms. It turned and looked directly at Eric. That was enough for the teenager to flee. He didn't even stop to wipe the thick blood covering his face. Jax let go of Tanya and chased after Eric. Bloody Bones followed them both. Axel tossed a rock at Bloody Bones.
Yo! Pack ahead!
Bloody Bones stopped, nearly falling forward. It flipped its head around and gave Axel a sardonic smile with its countless razor-sharp teeth.
Aw, shit!
The monster charged, spreading its jaws. Axel looked around as if there might be a rocket launcher somewhere, but he had nothing. He looked at the monster barreling toward him, took a deep breath, and raised his fists like a boxer. The monster was blindsided by the forklift. The steel fork stabbed into its leathery skin, sinking through its ribs and hip bones.
Get forked, asshole!
Pete was behind the wheel. After the initial spray of black goo, he wiped his face and grinned.
Ooh!
Pete grabbed at the levers. He raised the forks and tilted the mast. Bloody Bones slammed down on the mast, coming face to face with Pete.
Yeah.
Pete dodged the monster's thrashing arms, mostly protected by the forklift cage. Pete spun the forklift around and drove toward the tree.
Time to get that big noggin off.
I think you should leave it on.
Pete rammed along the side of the tree trunk, pinching the monster's head between the tree and the cage. The monster's neck looked deflated and flat, but the head was still attached.
I know it works with the head on. Best to play it safe.
The head's coming off. I'm not sticking my hand in this thing while it's moving.
The monster's head smashed against the tree.
Oh,
Bloody Bone's neck was broken at a severe angle, and the head dangled on leathery skin, the top of it pointing at the ground.
I guess we're doing it your way.
Despite the obvious lack of connection to its body, the monster's jaw didn't seem to lose a shred of life. It snapped at Pete with focused rage. Pete hopped out with the forklift parked at the edge of the sunken tomb.
I'll get the amulet.
Axel leaned over Tanya's faceless corpse, wincing. He tugged at the amulet in Tanya's skull. This thing wasn't coming out easily, so he put his foot on her head and gave it some real effort. Pete watched and grimaced. Blood sprung from Tanya's skull like a waterspout.
Well, here you go.
Thanks.
Pete and Axel stood on either side of the forklift, studying the monster head that dangled over the tomb. They dodged its flailing arms.
You got anything I can use to finish cutting this thing off?
What you really need is a chainsaw.
It's most of the way off. Just use anything.
You always think anything's gonna work. That's what's wrong with you.
You don't think nothing's gonna work. And that's what's wrong with you. I'm gonna show you how it's done. Watch this.
Pete stowed the amulet in his chest armor and picked up the chain. Pete swung the chain around the monster's neck. He nearly lost his hand from a ferocious snap of the jaws.
Little help?
Axel found a broken tree limb and poked it at Bloody Bones' head. He tried smacking it down on the head, hammering at it.
Oh, hold on. Stop.
Pete whipped the chain around the neck and grabbed both ends. He tightened the chain around the naked spine. He threw one end to Axel.
Right. Pull.
Nothing.
It's not gonna work.
Just let go.
Pete jumped into the sunken grave, holding the chain with both hands. He came down on it like a rope swing. He swung dangerously close to the snapping teeth. Black goo splattered in his face. Pete flailed up and down, his weight yanking on the barely attached neck. The neck snapped apart. Pete and the head both fell, crashing into the tomb. Rotten wood and damp earth caved in around them. Axel looked down, searching for Pete in the moonlit debris.
I'm good.
Axel looked around with lazy curiosity at the distant scream. Pete stood on a rotten plank and held the monster's head up like a trophy. The chain dangled, soaked in black fluid.
That's how you do it.
Hot damn.
I guess that's it.
Pete took out the photo of his family. It was coated in dark, sticky liquid.
God, please let this work.
The eyes of Bloody Bones opened.
Pete! Shit!
Pete dropped the head.
Shit!
Pete hopped down and stood over the snapping head, which was now face down in rubble. He turned it on its side so it looked like a nightmare Pac-Man biting over and over.
Oh, great. You broke the rules and now it's just as dangerous. You should be proud.
I got it.
Pete lifted the chain and let it drop through the teeth, dividing the jaws. He turned the head again, threading it through the chain. He tightened it in place, exactly as Jax did, locking the jaw in a half grin. He lifted it by the chain, holding the head upside down, the mouth pried open and immobile.
All right.
He took the amulet from inside his armor and shoved it into the mouth, burying it in the dark slime. Axel looked up at the forks. The monster corpse was slipping off, ready to fall on Pete.
Pete! Pete, are you okay?
Axel looked over the graveyard. He began to worry they had lost, after all.
I can't see!
All right, do you still have the amulet?
There was a flash of green light, and something slammed into Axel, knocking him into the tomb.
No!
It was Jax, or the body of Jax, possessed by the best demon.
What was that?
Axel waded through broken wood and chunks of earth. Jax struggled to navigate the debris, but made up for it with sheer violence as he chased.
I can't see!
No!
Jax leapt and landed on Axel.
Oh, wait, that's it, got it. No.
Pete! Hurry up!
Axel held Jax at a distance, his eyes shut tight. He choked Jax, pushing him up by the neck.
We got it! Oh, shit, yeah, that's it!
Jax bit into Axel's arm.
God damn!
Pushed him, losing his grip in the process.
Please.
Jax lunged forward, mouth open, ready to devour. Then, Jax's face froze with his mouth agape. The image jittered back and forth, repeating a few frames before there was a bright flash. And then silence. Adjusted as the dark night was replaced by a midday sky busy with rain clouds. He thrust his arm forward in search of bloody bones, only the monster was gone. In Pete's fist was the amulet covered in sticky fluid. He lay in a muddy ditch that was filling up with rain. Pete bolted upright and saw his reflection in the water. He wore a hard hat and safety glasses. A tool belt was fastened around his waist. Underneath, he still had his work overalls and the remains of his armor.
Hey! Hey! Are you all right?
Pete squinted against the rain, looking at the top of the ditch, where half a dozen men stared back, all wearing the same work gear. Behind them, a downed power line shot sparks at the rain.
Get out of that damn puddle before you get shocked!
Holy shit! I think it worked!
The men all looked at one another, confused as Pete climbed to the top of the ditch.
Is this Cottonville?
What?
What city are we in?
Buddy, are you drunk?
Pete grabbed the man around his shoulders and shook him.
Cottonville! Are we in Cottonville?
Pete's gaze slid from the lineman's shocked expression and down to the patch on his overalls. Black Falls Mill Electric Company.
Black Falls Mill? We're in a town called Black Falls Mill?
Well, yeah. Where do you think we are, you damn fool?
Pete let the man go and looked around, taking in his new world. A tidy neighborhood of perfect little homes, all craftsman style with pristine Cadillacs and Plymouths in the driveways, underscoring the fact that he was now in the 1950s or 60s.
Oh, shit! Axel! Axel! Have y'all seen a guy in a yellow raincoat?
The men all froze, eyes wide with terror. Pete didn't hesitate and took off in a sprint towards the sound. He darted between houses, around freshly painted fences, over manicured lawns, until finally, emerging on an empty street near the edge of the neighborhood, he stopped dead in his tracks. It was a boy, no older than 10, held high against the gloomy sky by something massive and unnatural.
Oh, shit, here we go again.
Pete's brain didn't make sense of what he saw. The creature just kept changing, shifting forms as though it couldn't decide what it was. In that moment, Pete knew that whatever this thing was, it was a lot worse than the creature he had just killed. But the child reminded him of his little girl, so he rushed forward with whatever juice he had left. A long, candy-striped arm, or was it a tentacle, slammed against the pavement, splashing water and shaking the ground so hard that Pete lost his balance and fell to the pavement, sliding a few painful feet.
God damn it!
In that final moment, the monster looked back at Pete with savage eyes. It had looked like some kind of space creature or maybe a massive spider. But it changed again, just before it vanished down a manhole in the middle of the rain-filled street, and the child vanished with it. Pete had no idea what he had just seen. But there was one thing he was certain about. The monster's final form, just before it vanished into the depths of the earth, was something unmistakable. A cloud.
Dead Meat Pete is a Straw House Pictures production, written and directed by Chris Gervais, with story contributions by Micah Troublefield and Chris Nolan. Starring Chris Gervais as Pete, Renee Alfonso as Axel, Rodney Stringfellow as the narrator, Stephanie Elise as Tanya, Zaid Patterson as Jax, Mari Snipes as Lewis, Andrew Hall as Eric, and Chris Rubez as the line worker. Produced by Micah Troublefield and Anil Dokai. Music by Soft Neon. Find the soundtrack at softneonmusic.com. Recorded and edited by Chris Gervais. To learn more, visit deadmeatpete.com. I've never done any kind of special thanks before, but I definitely want to give a massive special thanks to the many friends I've made in the podcast world. Like BP, obviously BP from Let's Talk Horror, been on the show multiple times, a great friend, let me plug Dead Meat Pete on there, W. Keith Timms from the first episode of, an amazing podcast, definitely check that show out to discover new audio drama, huge hats off to him for the job he did on the episode I was on, amazingly edited, felt like I was on NPR or something. My longtime friend, E-Man from Special Delivery Podcast, thank you so much for having me on. JT McRoberts, Strebo from Mutantville Radio Podcast and YouTube show, and that dude makes a million other things. Very, very similar lifestyle to mine. Thank you so much for having me on the show.
Manda from The Others and his house audio drama podcast. It was awesome figuring out how to promote shows with you and where the audio drama world is going and how to navigate it and all that stuff. Thanks for talking that stuff out with me. And thank you so much to Allison Malden for your help editing early on. And sorry that I haven't brought your name up in forever because you were such a huge help early on. But and Andrew also edited like crazy for me early on when I was trying to get on my feet here. Very appreciated, guys. Thank you so much. Thank you, everybody who participated in any way. I'm sure I've left people out. But and thank you, obviously, thank you for listening. Thank you so much for all the people who've tried to spread the word about the show and anyone who's left a review. It means the world to me. It's all I have right now to try to move the show forward, and so it means everything. Thank you so much, everyone who's expressed enthusiasm for the show. All right, well, I will hopefully see you, not or hear you, have you hear me, something like that. Hopefully that's not too far off. Working on season 2, plugging away, you know, still gotta go to work every day and do the 4 billion other things that life throws at you. You know, if you know someone that has a giant sack full of money that wants to help out so that we can get more resources to get the next season out quicker, please bend that person's ear and help us out. You know, and if you can't do that, tell people about the show, tell them to leave reviews. But anyways, thank you so much. It's been a blast. We're going to try to put some more content out before season 2, though. Some cool, fun stuff for you guys to check out between now and then. But anyways, keep your ear to the rail. We're not gone. All right, we'll see you on the other side. Fork you, you stupid asshole! Now you're forked, you dumb, stupid son of a bitch! Yeah! Take that, you stupid son of a bitch! Get forked, asshole!